The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. This is the valve tightening edition after Saturday's exploits from the Cats. Kingy, they got the chockies, but I didn't know there were that many valves on my setup that could go in and out. And they were going in and out at a ferocious rate on Saturday.
Titan?
Yeah, there was some real tightening.
Did you need WD-40?
No, I don't need more than that. I needed to sort of some time in the doctor's office. So the valves were able to release late when the Cats got the chockies. But I'm hoping, Kingy, I'm hoping that that's Geelong's nervous final, because I don't think that they played anywhere near to how they had been playing.
No, not they didn't play to their capabilities.
No, and hats off to Collingwood. They probably didn't let them play to their capabilities. But Geelong had
What if you're not wearing a hat? How do your hats off if you're not wearing a hat?
Well, you probably got a Fakari rug on top there if you're a bit... Can we talk about this on COVID? Do you know there's a rug sale going on somewhere in the world right now? Because there's always a rug sale.
The other one is I dips me lid. What if you don't have a hat on? You can't dip your lid if you don't have a hat on.
Well, yeah, I don't know. There's a few sayings that have probably got origins.
Bit old school. When
colonial
blokes,
sort of origins.
Blokes wore hats.
I've got a couple of sayings.
No. Not for this forum, Ben. Not for this forum. You maybe can reel them out off
Broadway. Do you know what hurricanes and marriages have in common?
You're not delivering the punch, Benny. You are not. If people want to know...
They'll have to look it up.
Google it.
It is quite humorous. What are we talking about? The Cats. Yeah, so anyway, look, I don't think they played their best. And as we said, the occasion won, the opponent two, and they had some players. Rhys Stanley was poor, very poor, didn't take a mark.
Somebody suggested he did cop a knock in the second quarter. He was struggling until then anyway, but that further limited his effectiveness. And it hasn't come up in injury reports or anything like that, so it mustn't be anything too serious.
No, he just had a stink bomb. Mm. He was a deer in the headlights. And he'd been, I mean, look, he's a maligned player, but he'd actually been pretty good, particularly in the back end of this year. But yeah, he had a poor game. I thought Blitzarves was well below what he'd been producing throughout the year.
Although when he went into the ruck in the last quarter, I thought he had an
influence. Yeah, potentially, yeah. You're probably right there. But overall, I thought he was well below what he's been doing. Dangerfield, I thought, was
off.
Yeah, very off, poor.
It just hasn't been his year. It's been very stop-start, injuries, etc. Maybe, you know, we're just asking for two more big efforts from Paddy Dangerfield just to give something.
Yeah, he just needs to play within his limitations now. He's, you know, just...
He doesn't have the burst.
Well, he does to a degree, but he's just... You know, the errors get magnified in finals, and, you know, the errors, the balls, the skill errors just get magnified. He's got to just play with his limitations and really focus on making every possession count and making like you feel like it counts, just not blasting it all over the place. And anyway, he did have eight clearances, I think. I'm not sure how many of those were sort of super effective, but he still did get eight clearances, so that's something. But yeah, he wasn't great. Even players like, I thought, particularly in the first half, I thought Zach Tui was well down. He's had a good year. I thought even he played well, but he made some uncharacteristic mistakes. Was Tom Stewart?
Yep.
A couple of drop marks that he just hasn't dropped.
Yeah, there was one that went straight through his hands in the last quarter.
Played freshy.
Yeah, I called it and I've gone, you will never see Tom Stewart.
They looked nervous, yep. Geelong. I thought they were nervous. There was expectation on them, but somehow they found a way to win. Rowan Cameron, obviously. I thought Selwood was great. And when it was needed to be, I thought Cam Guthrie played really well, and I thought his brother was really
Zach was
good,
outstanding.
Particularly in the first half.
That might have been one, and this, I'm prone to hyperbole occasionally on Carrick football with Geelong players.
A bit of hyperbole.
But that was nearly Zach Guthrie's best game for Geelong.
Well, he's played some really good ones,
but in terms of what it means, so he's had seven disposals, he's had seven rebound 50s and five inside 50s. They're solid numbers.
Yeah, he's become a very... And even, I noticed, I watched the replay. A
couple of contested marks. So yeah. Geelong took 13 contested marks for the night. So two of those contested marks were Cameron, two were Gary Rowan, which were both big flies at the footy.
They were pretty handy.
And resulted in goals. Two, Tom Stewart, two, Zach Guthrie. It's not bad darts.
No, that's good. He what I noticed was watching the replay, there was a passage of play late in the game where... A high ball came in, and it was at a crucial stall. Every
stage. Can I ask you a question? When you watch go back and watch the replay, do you pull the K-Rock call up and sync it back? And
no,
or do you listen with the
no? Host listen to see what goes on with some of the other callers. And I don't often watch the replay, but it was a pretty exciting sort of game. And I just wanted to get a feel for what the rivals were sort of how they were going about it. And anyway, there was a long.
We were all over them, though, weren't we?
Yeah, correct.
Cheap suit style.
Absolutely, we were like a. Yeah, like something onto sort of some dung.
Right.
Like a
flies.
Dung. No, a dung beetle. Have you seen dung beetle on dung?
No, I haven't seen
dung. No, there's a dung beetle. It's not exactly the most alluring sort of
it's an unfortunate
beast,
name.
Is it?
No.
A dung
beetle.
It's like
being popcorn chicken.
Yeah, that's a disaster. If you ended up as a chicken, you end up in popcorn. that is a very a gloomy
I'll
end.
I'll tell you who was really good.
Who's?
And he's very composed for a bloke who's only played 22 games of AFL footy.
Is De Koning.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played well. His man didn't get a sniff. But I was going to say was about Zach Guthrie. It was a high ball came in late in the game when it was absolutely on the line. And he didn't mark it, but he actually tried to mark it. And he had every right to because he was actually in a good position. But I thought that's the sign that he's really confident because he tried to mark the ball. And it's just little things like that. And he's mark over Ginnivan. Ginnivan took a big dive. Yeah, look, he's become a really competent player and his best footy's still ahead of him.
Yep. If I was to say to you at the start of the year, Geelong were going to be a preliminary final team and these guys would be regular senior players at this time of the year, I'll give you some names. Would you have thought Max Holmes had to be in that mix?
No.
Sam De Koning?
And we're not allowed to call Max by his name, are we, anymore?
No, we're not.
We've been banned.
We've been gagged. Sam De Koning?
No.
Never heard
of Sam De Koning.
Tyson Stengel?
If you had said it before round one after his preseason, I might have said yes, but probably no.
Zach Guthrie?
No.
Grian Myers?
Yeah, probably.
Tom Atkins?
Yes.
Okay.
Not as a midfielder, but in the team, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
But there's probably four or five blokes there that you would have thought if they're in Geelong's best 22 if they're in Geelong's best 22 at round 23, Geelong aren't playing, battling or not playing finals.
And the other side of that coin is if I said to you that we got to a final and Brandon Parfitt wouldn't get a game, would be available to play.
I'd be shocked. Would have been shocked.
Yeah, you would have been shocked and disturbed. I was shocked and disturbed.
Is that from somewhere?
Yeah, that's off, I don't know, what is it off? I was shocked and disturbed.
Shocked and dismayed came from Wide World of Sports 2. Right. It was the investigation into Spatfors.
Into who?
Spatfors.
Who did he play
for? Go back and listen to Wide World of Sports 2. Oh. And there was a little...
Thank you, Ken.
There's a little segment on Spatfors.
Spatfors?
Yes.
Sounds like something you might wear in a sort of a... You know, if you went to a bondage club. I've got my Spatfors on.
Who are the Cats?
Have you ever been to one of those, Kingy? The Hellfire Club?
No, I haven't. Have you?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
How'd you go?
Well, it was an eye-opener. When I walked in there, we'd obviously been hydrating for quite some time.
Right.
And this is quite some time ago. Have you remember the Hellfire Club?
No,
anyway, there was... I knew it wasn't quite... The ranch was going to be like, you know, a little bit, how you going? When I trundled through and I just wanted to find the bar. That was my main goal.
Right.
And my view, I hoved over to the left and there was a man. There was a man on a big sort of, you know, a wheel.
Yes, but like sort of...
Adriana Exenity sort of wheel.
Wheel of Fortune. Like in the crucifix position.
Yeah, yes.
Yes.
Just getting whizzed around.
Yeah, right.
With not a whole lot on.
Right.
And I thought, goodness, I hope I don't end up on that thing because, anyway, it was quite extraordinary. There was little people getting sort of little, you know, copping little ones when they were anyway. If you've got nothing to do, I don't know if they still go, but if you've got a free Saturday night, launch yourself to the Hellfire Club.
Right. So who are the Cats going to play? Melbourne or Brisbane? No, sorry, yeah, Melbourne or Brisbane.
Oh, I think they'll play Melbourne. Mm. We get seduced every year, and we say it every year, that the team that wins the elimination final and we go off the team that loses the qualifying final, and the team that, I don't know what the percentages are, Kingy, but
I would be in the 70s, if not higher, for the team. The losing team. Usually the top four go through to...
Yeah. I think Melbourne. I think Brisbane get Rayner back.
Yep.
Answorth back, do they?
Rayner and Answorth back from suspension, but they lose McInerney.
Yeah, that hurts. That really hurts.
Fort will play, and there's no guarantee that Jared Lyons will play.
Right.
Either.
So they get a couple back. Rayner's a good player.
So Lyons might be running around, because the Brisbane VFL made the prelim, so he might be running around in a prelim in the VFL.
Harms will tag Neil.
Yep.
You would have thought. They're not going to allow Lachie Neil to get it 3,000 times Richmond did.
If Harms had got that completely wrong last week,
he'd be out.
He would be not.
Well, that could be a turning point in this game, because Harms, you know, he's a bit of a terrier. Once he locks on.
Yep.
That could stifle their midfield, especially if Lyons is not playing, because Rayner's not really he's more of your icing on your cake type player. He's not really a midfielder as such.
Well, he's your high half forward, really.
He's had a good year, Rayner.
Yeah.
He's finally delivering on
he can play in front of Hipwood and Danaher.
Yes. I think with
and McStay.
Lever and May. Oh, yeah, I think Melbourne win. Yep. So the Cats are playing Melbourne, and that's... If Melbourne are the team that if they get it right on the night, they'll be very, very, very hard to beat.
They can pull your pants down.
I'd rather be playing...
Brisbane.
Oh, yeah, Brisbane win. Yeah, yeah. I think that would be...
Yeah.
But I don't think they will.
No, but more palatable would have been Melbourne being on the other side of the draw and you're not playing until the grand final.
Correct, because I think Melbourne will make you very nervous. Yeah. And we saw on last Saturday, Geelong, I thought, played a nervous... brand of footy, but still found a way.
Jake Collegeasney's the watch going into next week.
The old Kinney?
Yeah.
How is the Kinney?
Well, it's not as serious as first thought, so he's still a chance. They've kept the door open for him to play. I could stand here and say I'd be surprised if he played, but I'm only guessing. You know, the club will know better than us, and we'll find out in 8 days' time whether he plays or not.
Right. Well, I mean, if he plays... If he's available to play, great. If he doesn't, Geelong has players.
Geelong can fill that.
Yeah.
Yeah. As much as we love Jake Collegeasney at K-Rock and we think he does a great job, he is replaceable.
If they're playing Melbourne, anyway, you don't look too far ahead, but if they're playing Melbourne, you've obviously got Brown. He wouldn't play on Brown. They've got Fritsch. He would be a chance.
Yep.
He's probably not going to pick it.
Jackson or Gawn when they go forward.
Yeah, they're the other options, but you probably think De Koning takes that player when he goes forward.
Who goes to...
I think they probably play... Maybe a Henry goes... See, Collegeasney potentially could play on Brown if... Yep. You need De Koning on Gawn or Jackson if they play forward.
Yep.
I don't think you can go with a Henry or someone who's going to give away 10 centimetres.
Who goes to Fritsch?
Well, that's an interesting one. He's very... Geez, he's good Fritsch. He just... I don't know. He's so agile.
Too tall for Buse?
Yeah, I would have thought he'd outmark Buse. I don't know. It's Collegeasney or Henry.
Henry probably goes back to Fritsch.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably the matchup. If Collegeasney not playing, but he'd be in the mix.
Who comes in then? Does O'Connor come into the 22 or does he stay as a sub and you bring in a Parfitt? Or?
Geez, I don't know. That's a good one. If Collegeasney's not playing, do you need O'Connor as the sub?
Probably.
Gives you another defender.
It gives you.
O'Connor
has that flexibility to play. If you had to play lockdown role in the midfield, potentially, you're picking somebody because of that, I suppose, as a sub. But he can play defensively. He can play midfield. You're not sending him forward.
Do they get Parfitt in? I don't know. I just like to see him in, but you don't want to have too many midfielders.
They did say that what they picked against Collingwood wasn't necessarily
that's right. Two learned gentlemen.
Learned gentlemen?
Yeah. Contact me after the game, and they suggested, and I'm not an advocate for this, but the fact that they were even suggesting this, and they weren't saying it needed to happen, but they were suggesting that they would rather have, and this won't happen, but they would rather have Parfitt in the side than Dangerfield.
Yeah, right. No, that's not happening.
No, it's not happening. But no. The fact that that's what... And these guys aren't, you know...
They're not silly people.
Bozos. No, no, they were just saying that the way... Yeah, so anyway, that's where he's at the minute, I suppose. But, you know, danger can turn it on. Do they get... Oh, I'd love to see Parfitt get in there, but you just got to have the right role and you can't have too many of the one sort of players. So it's an interesting one.
Mm. Tom Atkins, 23 disposals, 9 tackles and 8 clearances and should have been a saint, according to Patrick McCartan.
Yes. Yeah, he did tell us that after the Sydney win that he did mention him to the St Kilda. He mentioned Tom Atkins to the St Kilda recruiting staff.
Mm.
And they just fobbed it off, I think. They thought he'd maybe taken one too many Panadol and had gone to his cranium. Mm. And anyway,
they miss out.
They do miss out. Mm. He was good again. On the line, 12 touches in the last quarter. And yeah, he's got a bit of the skipper about him. He just 16, does those little things.
16 and, contested possessions.
Yeah, that's pretty good going. That's sort of Clayton Oliver sort of areas. Well, he gets 20-odd. But, yeah, look, Atkins has an ability to find when he's still under pressure.
And he's still a rookie.
Who?
Atkins.
Is he still on the rookie
list? He's still on the rookie list. Him and Closer, they're up. They'll be elevated. They're both.
They have to be.
Yes. Yeah, it's either that or they're delisted. And I don't think either that's happening to either.
No. Hats
Friend,
off.
Talking about players off the
list.
Well,
he's keeping Parfitt out, Atkins.
Yeah.
That's the role.
Francis Evans has been linked to Port Adelaide.
Has he?
Yeah.
The MP.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, court report.
And what's happening
Adelaide
with the Cats? Hopper. Seems like he's going to Richmond.
Yeah, that seems to have dropped off. We've had somebody ask us about that. Questions?
Yeah, I love
there them. Are a lot. We have been hammered on the Big Footy Forum. Hinkley 29. Oh, Kenny, good to have you joining us.
Kenny.
Never manned up in his life.
No. He used to, when he's manned to kick a goal, he'd go back into defence and he'd go and stand on another guy, even if it was his man.
Grind Myers, 9 possessions, 1 mark, 0 tackles, 56% efficiency, although he did have 6 score involvements, continues a poor finals record. Given the squeeze he's on for spots in the team, does he deserve to hold his spot?
On that one game, no, but I don't think they're going to base it on that one game. I thought his previous 5 were pretty good.
Yeah.
And I don't know, what are you replacing him with? You're not taking him out and putting Parfitt in because Parfitt's not capable of playing that role. Yeah, he had a bad night. You know, did Blitzarve's had a bad night? Yep, did Stanley have a bad night? But the question I'd ask, would the Geelong selection committee, would they have like big nonna's meatballs, you know, the big meaty balls to swap Segler and Stanley?
That will be discussed.
Yeah. You'd have to have the real...
Would you have to wait and see who the ruck opponent is? Would you have a preference for who plays against McInerney and a preference for who plays against Jackson and Gawn?
McInerney, you probably could be happy with Segler. Mm. Jackson and Gawn...
I'd be Stanley.
Probably, but Stanley would want it, he'd want a London fog on what he did on Saturday.
Cats. Draftee, how concerned are we starting poorly in finals? How concerned are we about qualifying final one, Collingwood 16, 17, 21 prelims, coupled with a poor record off the bye, now having played only one game in a month, given the pre-finals bye week off of the semis. Scotty says it won't matter. It doesn't matter. Different year, different group, but makes me feel nervous as a Cats fan going into a prelim. The thing with the Cats last week starting poorly, and this is something they've been able to do against teams for most of the year, when the game hasn't been on their terms, the opposition hasn't been able to score heavily on them.
No.
The only ones at times that stick out were Collingwood did in the third quarter of round 3. St Kilda scored heavily on them in the game at Docklands in about round 9. I think that was their last loss. The Dogs might have... Somebody else, Carlton, I think, scored heavily on them. Was it Carlton or somebody else? No, somebody else. Port Adelaide scored heavily on them in the game over there as well. But clubs like Carlton, Richmond all had momentum in games and weren't able to score heavily on the Cat. And that's what Geelong have been good at. When Geelong haven't had the game where they want it, the opposition hasn't been able to score because Geelong defensively have been so good.
Yeah, all the good teams do that.
Yep.
That's what makes you a good team. It's not so much, not always what you do when you're scoring. It's what you do when you haven't got the ball and the teams hold up. And Geelong have been quite good at that.
I'm not nervous about the prelim. I think Geelong in the prelim.
Yeah, I hope they do, but if it's Melbourne and Melbourne were to come out with all guns blazing and play well, yeah, you'd want to be on your best behaviour.
This is a Melbourne who are 6-7 over the last 13 weeks.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with all those things, but they're capable of turning it on.
Absolutely.
And Petrarca and Gawn and, you know, if they all went to town and had big ones, it suddenly becomes a really, really difficult game to win. So I think Sydney will take care of either Fremantle or Collingwood up there without a worry. So Geelong probably have what you would classify, if they're playing Melbourne, they will have the harder prelim.
But I think the premier comes out of the Geelong-Melbourne prelim.
No, well, you could be right, Kingy. Let's hope you are right. And let's hope it's seems, the Pussycats.
Yeah. Catters 28, what on earth do we do with Reece Stanley? One word can describe his performance on Saturday. Diabolical.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Diabolical's harsh.
Well, he was average. He was pretty ordinary. He didn't take a mark. He's 200 centimetres. Didn't take one mark. No, nothing. He didn't actually catch the ball. That's classified as a mark. He didn't do that for the whole time the game was going on.
They will discuss. And Sean Grigg did say as much yesterday that, you know, that we'll be up for debate. Catters 07, I know it probably doesn't matter, but how did Jeremy Cameron only receive one coach's vote for Saturday night? Boggles my mind. Anyway, yeah. Good lucky win.
I think
one team this team has done this year better than past years is that they seem to be able to solve problems and change momentum on the run during quarters. Let's hope Cat fans get to the G next Friday night. Worried about one game in 4 weeks, but I'm genuinely confident. I think Geelong, the town, is up and about, and there's a general buzz.
No, there's always a buzz.
Talking about, we're going to have our own buzz on Saturday night. Josh Conway's back in the boundary seat on
Gus Mercurio.
Yes.
Next week, Mont Barks.
New homes with land.
Josh Conway has no idea who Gus Mercurio is, but he sounds very much like Gus. He's got a bit of, not doesn't, he's got a little bit of the Gus Mercurio about him.
Yeah.
I did see Kingy, I do agree that Cameron, how he only got one vote was absolutely staggering, because not only did he kick three goals, but he set three up. He set the one up where he out of congestion, he last minute pulled the kick to Rowan at the top of the square. He set the last one up, obviously, when he ran his tail off to get out in the wing. And then not too many players on their left can kick the ball back 50 metres like that. That was a difficult kick, albeit Rowan did have plenty of separation on his man. But you got to get that kick right, and he absolutely placed it perfectly. Rowan was so tight, he absolutely cocked the mark up, but it didn't matter in the end. And his kick into Duncan,
that
went over about 14 Collingwood players' heads by 3 inches and then landed in Duncan's breadbasket. That was an elite kick. So he's kicked three. He has set up three directly. And how many of the Cats kicked? 12.
Correct.
So he's had a hand in half their goals. And, yeah, he deserved more than one coach's vote.
Larry Donoghue, great to have the 1976 Coleman medalist.
And you know when he had the Winchester pub and the sign at the front, you know what it said?
Have one with one who kicked a ton.
Gold.
Reece Stanley, do we bring in a ruckman with strength and better hands or persevere with a soft, jelly-handed runner? He's had a good year, but if he plays like he did against Collingwood in a prelim, we'll get smashed. John Segler offers a strong hand in the ruck. Your thoughts?
Yeah, look, he's probably a bit more physical in the ruck. Stanley is quite a good... His strength is he's a very good one-touch mark. That's one of his strengths. It wasn't on display on Saturday, but he is a strong mark, Stanley. So if you're talking marking, I think Stanley is a better mark than Segler. If you're talking about sort of aggressiveness and will and want and intensity, you're probably going Segler. I just wish Segler had about three or four more games under his belt. Only two senior games into the kitchen, a raging hot sort of Indian curry style kitchen, preliminary final off two games when you've missed the entire pre-season and most of the year with injury, it's a risk.
Hey, King and Cass, I think the most pleasing thing out of the QF was the way the younger brigade stood up. SDK, Holmes, Zach Guthrie, Stengel, all brave.
Yep.
As hard as it was to pick a team, I think Parfitt would have been handy on Saturday. Does he get back in? Hard to see where, but perhaps if Collar doesn't come up.
Yeah, well, we just mentioned that. You just have to be careful, I reckon, that, we see Parfitt, 100-odd games, good player, good tackler. Well, surely he's got to be in the team. Yeah, okay, but where does he fit? How does he fit in?
Yeah.
Because he can only play midfield. He can't really play anywhere else.
Geelong have played a system this year that relies on blokes playing roles. Now,
yeah.
If you don't have a role for him, you can't play him.
No, and you just can't put him in the midfield, then suddenly you've got one too many midfielders. So they'll have to weigh all that up, but I just think you have to really be careful of just putting blokes in on name and thinking, oh, this guy's a really good player, let's find a way, because I think that can blow up in your face. And so I'd love to see him in myself, but I just think they've got to make sure that there is a role, a defined role for him, and they're not fitting him in because, On talent, is he in our best 22? But is he in our best 22 in terms of how the team looks?
Is the inability of... This is from Catch of the Future, by the way. Is the inability of journalists, former footballers and the AFL to communicate to the public the reason why the Tom Lynch behind was called a behind the greatest failure of the media in the last 7 years? Such a simple concept as confirming the position of the ball along the camera angle using the goalpost and an additional camera should be a two-minute explanation. Instead, we've now had 5 days of moaning from a footy public confused by what is a straightforward concept. This trope... that it was not definitive is being trotted out nightly at the moment. It is burning a hole in people's sanity and it's not healthy.
Well, it was a point.
I
think it was a point. It was the way it was adjudicated was an absolute cock-up, but in the end it was adjudicated in the correct fashion. He missed.
Yep.
He knew he missed. And how the umpire called it a goal is beyond me. He should have called it a point because he wasn't sure. So never go the highest denominator, go the lowest denominator. And then if it's clearly a goal, they can alter it. So that was a cock-up. The AFL then overruling the umpire when they didn't have clear evidence. Well, I think they got it right, but they can't have a system that they work all year and then change it for the finals. Mm. So it was an absolute cock-up, but in the end, I think the right decision was made. He missed. And kind of, I was a bit, Damien Hardwick saying cost millions of dollars, it's cost people their jobs. The bloke they're paying $1 million missed a goal from 3 metres out. So that's end of story.
Howler 41, 10 minutes into the first quarter, I was quoting Kath and Kim, I've got that sinking feeling. However, we managed to stop the Pies from putting it on the scoreboard. Thought Zach Guthrie played a very good first half. He seems to have learnt the right time to attack the ball, a hugely improved player. Second quarter onwards, we were a lot better. Didn't get it on our terms exactly, but found a way to win. Rowan and Cameron looked dangerous with every entry. In the end, we were the better team. Hawkins, Dangerfield, Stanley, Borum, Blitz and Stengel all having quieter games. Hoping this the week off gives Stanley the chance to freshen up, sharpen the focus. Must admit, I was shocked Parfitt wasn't picked. Would like to see him come in potentially for College Asney. However, I think that leaves us vulnerable down back. Cannot wait for the prelim. Go Cats. Howler 41.
Yeah. I don't know if we were clearly the... Oh, well, I don't know if we were the better team. We won the game. I thought Collingwood would...
No, Collingwood the better team.
I don't know. All that who's the better team. I don't know how do you measure that. It's impossible. But just to my eye, Geelong had their nose in front when they blew the siren. It's like a two-horse war down the straight. And you bob, yet the bob down, bob up.
Sort of bone crusher.
Our Waverley star. Yeah, we could, a little bit like that. Very much like that. So I don't know if you just say Geelong with a better team. They happen to have their nose in front when the umpire pressed the button to end the game. So what I liked about the Cats was that they found a way. They that's a final they would have lost. I think previously they found a way to win when things didn't. Just a few things on the night. They had some entries where you thought, are they going to kick a goal? It was cocked up. The ball didn't bounce.
Some of the bounces. One in front of Blitzarves.
Oh, when he fell. Blitzarves needs to rearrange his shoes because he kept falling over all the time.
Yeah.
But he had a ball bounced left and right. There was another one where the ball came in and I think Hawkins and Dangerfield were there and the ball just didn't bounce for Dangerfield. There's a whole heap of little things that sort of didn't, and Collingwood fans will say, look, the ball didn't bounce our way here and there. I get all that, but Geelong, it felt like it was an absolute grind, but they found a way to do it. And I was interested in the first quarter, Kingy, that, I mean, when you get into a final against good opposition that are playing well and that are well set up, they're well structured, like Collingwood are and Collingwood were on Saturday, you aren't going to have the game on your terms. So we were talking about how Geelong were able to defend. In the first quarter, I was watching, I don't watch footy shows, right? But I don't mind Under the Louvre. No, it was a sire. One that Stradbroke. What's it called? Monday night with Gary Lyon and on the bench
or
something. Off the couch. Yeah.
On the couch.
It should be called the Hellfire Club, just to spice things up. Yeah, watch right. that. I don't mind watching that because...
What, and you interview a coach while he's going around on the wheel?
Scantily clad.
And if you don't like the answers he's giving, he stays on there.
And do you know what the other thing happened at the Hellfire Club? I looked across, and towards the end of the bar, there were big candles with wax, and the people, all sorts of stuff was going on.
No.
Anyway, no, I had my Carlton draft and just sort of stayed focused, Kingy.
Good.
We're going to stay a bit loose a bit later.
We're going to stay focused here.
Got a bit loose later. No, I was going to say, so in that first quarter, Geelong had 30... This is we're not giving credit to Collingwood. Geelong had 33... contested possessions and 34 uncontested possessions. They showed that stat on the couch. off the couch, whatever it's called.
On the couch.
Yeah, on the couch. So they showed that. That is extraordinary. That does not happen in football. It usually runs at about 65-70-30.
Yeah.
Uncontested to contested. Geelong were equal, one-on-one. Yeah, that's how well Collingwood were playing. And then Geelong's capacity, one thing Geelong have been really good at this year, this is another stat that they showed which piqued my interest, was that for the first three quarters, I forget the exact numbers because I've got a bit of Siggy butt brain, but Geelong have been really good this year at scoring from the back half, taking the ball from their defensive 50 and then scoring. In the first three quarters, I think they scored, someone will have watched and know this number, I'm only guessing, let's say it was, I don't know, two or three goals for the first three quarters. They scored three goals in the last quarter from the back half into their forward half, including the last one from Stewart to Guthrie to Duncan, back to Guthrie to Cameron to Rowan. To no relation.
Yep. Hey, fellas, a question about the podcasting of post-game K-Rock content. Is there any way we could get a single podcast with the entirety of the post-game siren to off-air in one? Would be great to be able to listen to the antics from start to finish without having to queue up each individual piece of audio. That's from Tizza 070911. Amazing how many Geelong fans have 070911 as part of their...
As far as
their avatar.
Their call sign. What's your call sign, Kingy?
No, I don't have one.
I've got one.
Yeah, right.
I bought it out at the Hellfire
Club. No. maybe something we'll look at next year, but the way it's set up, because the reason why it's set up the way it is they individually sponsored the segments and they need to have the credit for the sponsors coming in and out. So that's one of the reasons why we can't do it as entirely in one. Catters, hello, gents. We must start finals well so the coaches persist with blitz defending at the starting centre bounces with both Ferraris on the bench. So frustrating they didn't switch it up despite the opposition jumping us in the first quarter. Stubbornness again, sticking to the plan A until the fourth. So they've put actually up a screenshot of Dangerfield and Selwood starting on the bench. So Dangerfield was 8 minutes, 6 minutes, 8 minutes and 4 minutes to start the first quarter. Selwood was 5 minutes, 6 minutes and 8 minutes for quarters one, two and three, and he started the last quarter on the ground.
That's fine. I mean, Geelong's seeming their catch cry now, and I've heard it a couple of times this week. We heard it from Joel Selwood after the game, and I heard another player mention it, interviewed, player or coach, getting power on the ball.
Yeah, right.
So that's where Dangerfield's at. I mean, he's not happy about it.
No.
You could see him interviewed after the game. He wasn't happy about being on the bench, starting on the bench. Whereas the skipper, you know, that's his...
If he wants to play in a flag, it might be the way they win one.
Well, that's where he's at.
Yeah. Sean Greig spoke about it yesterday too. It's about spreading... His words about spreading the load.
He's the one might have said power on the ball. That's their catch cry.
Yeah, right. Do or die finals. Now not time to stuff around. They've all taken their turn. We have seen that story before. He says, sorry, Rex Carell, I meant Audi, BMW, Subaru, because he described them as Ferraris.
And Studebaker.
Studebaker, that doesn't happen. Nico... I've noticed this as well about the one coach's vote. They see what the other team is doing and overcome it. Oh, no, hang on. No, what was this one? Being able to change problems, solve problems and change momentum. Looked like this again second quarter, but it didn't roll like that second half. The other thing they've been doing is grinding out close ones, which reminds me of the good teams of recent times, e.g. the Hawks. That's about right. G'day, gents. This is from our good mate, Daz Broncos. Think in Atlanta. Busy in here this week. Must be finals time. Love it. Quick one from me. We can't afford to risk Cole or Jasny, surely, at this point. I keep thinking Stokes in 08, close but not 100%, and it showed. Parfitt in, Collar out, O'Connell the sub. Also, has Hopper gone cold or just the management posturing for a better deal and talking to Richmond so late in the piece? Refresh well for the big one next week. The Hopper stuff has gone a little bit quiet. But
it does seem a bit weird that it seemed Geelong, and then suddenly, oh, no, we're going to Richmond.
Does it go a bit quieter because you're still alive?
Oh, I've got no idea, Kingy. I'm not sure whether or how all that works.
Does that amp back up?
What about, we spoke about it in the pregame on Saturday, but seeming Ollie Henry is very weird, hasn't re-signed. My understanding is very, very close with his brother.
Yep, and want to play together.
Potentially.
Yep.
So maybe Geelong have decided to set their sights because they can't. I mean, they want first round pick, don't they, for Hopper?
Yep.
Geelong don't have a first round pick, or they will, but it'll be pick 400.
Yeah. By the time you do,
by the time they
academies,
the vacuum cleaners will be going by the time Geelong start.
Hey,
picking.
I've been at a draft where Geelong's first pick was the vacuum cleaners.
Yeah.
That was in about 2015 or 16.
Tim Finocchiaro they picked.
No, we were in Adelaide for the draft. And they basically were everybody. All the other media were packing up. The only media still covering the draft was the Geelong media because we're waiting for Geelong's three. That I think that was the draft they took. Was that the Parfitt draft? No. The Wiley Buzzer
Parfitt
draft
was taken in the 20s.
It was
the old Wiley Buzzer.
The old Wiley Buzzer. Who's playing in the Brisbane?
The Wiley Buzzer time clock.
Oh, yes. Chuck this into the mix when you talk to Gill about the $4.5 billion deal, please, Benny. This is about the podcast that Tizza raised. After all, they say they're giving us a choice of Anthony Hudson or BT, and even Hutto is simply not just biased enough. We need the K-Rock option. This is from Singapore Cat.
Yeah, well, that'd be great.
Turkey
Tom. Do you think they'd be ready for us, Kingy?
No.
Do you think they'd be ready for some hijinks?
A bit like, you know how they took, we'd be a bit like Wayne's World where they, you know, you come off Broadway, you know how they, Wayne's World had their, you know, the cable TV show that was a bit underground and all of a sudden they were discovered and there might be a little bit of that for us
one
day.
We need to get our own YouTube channel.
Do we?
What do you reckon?
Yeah, we can do that.
I've been watching a YouTube channel. I've never watched a YouTube channel before.
Yeah, right.
But it's good.
I'm moving on. I don't know what you've been watching. Turkey Tom, any whispers of a Stanley injury after being incited and unsighted in the first quarter?
Tell you what it's called.
Thought he did some nice things in the second. Then right at the end of the quarter, about 30 seconds to go after a throw-in, Darcy Cameron fell on Stanley's leg. Stanley went down awkwardly, seemed to grab at his left knee leg. Might explain why he was ineffective in the second half. Spent a large part of the fourth on the bench. I haven't seen or heard anything more to say
that, look, that could be right. I mean, we can only go on face value, and he did play poorly. But in fairness to him, he has had a good for him. He's had a pretty strong year, particularly his back end. So he wouldn't want to. Yeah, they need him playing better than that when they step out again in the prelim.
Yep, Benny, that's us for this week.
Good work.
Are we going to do one next week going into?
Oh, we're going to do it in the nude.
Are we?
At the Hellfire Club.
No, we're not.
I'll put you on that wheel.
We might see.
And ask you some questions, some poignant questions.
I do have some commitments next week.
Do you? What have you got?
Got Cottage by the Sea.
What's
race day next week.
Who?
Cottage by the Sea.
So you're
going
to go and drink gas at the races instead of, So it's a big commitment. So
I'm hosting it.
Well,
so I'm
what time's that?
Gas. No, I'm there from 11:30. We'd need to do it early Thursday.
Yeah, well, anyway, we'll get something organised, Kingy.
We'll work something out.
We'll definitely need to do something because the Cats are up and about. They're into...
You're up and about too. This is as up and about as I've seen you for a while.
Well, I'm sort of... It's come out of... It's been unexpected. I think when something happens that's unexpected, you do tend to get up and about.
Hmm.
So, I didn't expect the Cats to be in this position. I'm rapt that they are. And they've done a great job. They've reinvented themselves. Coaching staff have done a great job. The players have done a great job. Everything they've tried has worked. And now they've just got to finish the deal because it's theirs to win, I think. I'd like to fancy our chances if it was a Geelong-Sydney Grand Final in Melbourne. Mm. I think that Geelong would go in I'm not saying Sydney are going to be easy beats.
Sydney ought to get there first.
Yeah, I think they'll beat either Collingwood or Freo. Mm. But... Yeah, so it's when something's a bit, it's when you go out.
All right, I'm leaving this here, Benny, because I don't know where you're going. Benny, see you next week.
Righty-o, go the Cats.
Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.